Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now, with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found, we stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, how radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, that's better. NAIDOC Week, the 5th to the 12th of July, marks 50 years of honouring the voices, the cultures, and the resilience of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. The Uniting Church, together with the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress, give thanks for this significant milestone and celebrates the enduring strength and leadership of First Nations peoples. Over five decades, NAIDOC Week has become a wonderful national celebration of culture, truth-telling, and hope, affirming the leadership, vision, and aspirations of First Nations communities. As we reflect on the past and look towards a future shaped by justice, healing, and reconciliation, we pray that Christ will continue to guide and strengthen as we walk together in truth across this land. We acknowledge all First Peoples of the beautiful lands on which we live, in our case, the land of the Wathaurong people, and we celebrate their enduring knowledge and connections to country. We honour the wisdom of and pay respect to elders past and present, and give thanks for the continuing connection to land, waterways, and community. We pause at this moment just to welcome everyone gathered here this morning, and in so doing, we acknowledge our individual differences and our similarities. We attest the desire for all to feel safe and to experience a really deep sense of belonging as we jointly profess our common goals of loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith.
our call to worship today is adapted from the timeless psalm, and it will be responsive. God, the light, we come to worship you. God, the way, we come to worship you. God, the truth, we come to worship you. I want to lead us into a time of prayer and through a guided meditation. So find a comfortable position in your pews. Let the pews hold you and sense the ground below you. And it's grounded in our gospel reading. Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew begins this way. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. That day, Jesus had been speaking to the crowd of people and teaching many things, including the idea that all who follow him are connected as family. He went out of the house from inside to outside to sit beside the sea. He went out to find a quiet, calming place, maybe to pray. So I invite you to imagine yourself doing the same. Go from the inside to the outside of your mind. Leave the people, thoughts, demands, ideas, worries, or whatever crowds your soul, and find a space to sit beside the sea. It's a calm day. Your eyes sweep the expanse before you, all the way to the horizon. The sand is soft and welcoming. Waves wash in and retreat with a quiet, soothing, rhythmic sound. The sun rests a gentle warmth on your back, and a light breeze plays in the trees and under the wings of the gliding gulls. There is nothing you need to do. Being present to all that surrounds you in a way of giving thanks for your unique place in this wide and wonderful part of God's creation. Your hands sift through warm, fine sand where you are sitting, and finds a small shell. Turn it over in your palm. It brings to mind the places and people where you have found shelter, a home, a sense of belonging. As you remember, you celebrate the outrageous love that shelters you. Now your hand finds a small stone, worn smooth from the constant movement of water and sand over the surface. You recall times when things were hard and rest was elusive. When you were tossed around by a raging storm or stumble over and over in pain or shame or grief. Your fingers close around the stone, feeling its strength and resistance. You consider what it might be like to let it go. Rising from where you are sitting, still carrying the stone, you move to the edge of the waters. Maybe this is about asking for forgiveness or letting go of past hurts or offering your pain to the one who invites you to lay your burdens down. When you are ready, take a last look at your stone and place it down in the water or throw it as far out into the waters as you can. You may choose to go back to where you were sitting or walk a little way along the beach, splash in the shallows or dive in and swim in the sea. Whatever you choose, know this: you are loved, forgiven, and blessed. You are kin in the spirit with all that is. It's time to come back now. Gently wriggle your hands and feet and open your eyes. Know that you can return to this spot on the sand anytime. You can go from inside to outside in your mind and pray in this way. And all the people say, Amen. May the peace of God dwell with you. Let's stand if you're able. Sorry, we'll go with what's there. we'll have the story. So this story is actually based on our Genesis reading, but we'll actually listen to it. Thank you, Alistair.
God's story, Jacob and Esau. So part of God's story is about twin brothers, and it begins like this. Once, there were twins named Jacob and Esau, and they didn't get along. They actually started fighting before they were born. Then during birth, Esau came out first, but Jacob was holding on to his heel. That's not normal. And they even look different. The Bible says Esau's body was covered in so much red hair, it was almost like he had clothes on. Jacob's skin was smooth. Well, they got even more different as they grew up. Esau hunted animals and spent time outside. Their dad, Isaac, was a big meat eater, so Esau was his favorite. Jacob, on the other hand, was a quiet guy who liked to stay indoors. Their mom, Rebecca, liked Jacob the best. The Bible doesn't talk much about Jacob and Esau as kids, but we do know Esau was lucky to be the oldest because he had what's called a birthright. That meant Esau would be in charge of their family, including all their money, land, and stuff. Jacob would probably have to work for his brother Esau, and their dad Isaac would give Esau a blessing, which means Isaac would ask God to take care of his oldest son Esau in an extra special way. Well, you probably think Esau was pretty excited about this, but he wasn't. In fact, one day he gave it up. He'd just returned from a hunting trip. Since he was out killing animals all day, he didn't have time to eat. He came home starving. Jacob was making stew, so Esau said, "Quick, give me some of that stew. I'm very hungry." Now, Jacob was a little sneaky, so he didn't just share the stew with his hungry brother, which would have been nice. Instead, he said, "First, sell me your birthright." And guess what? Esau said yes. It's a little like paying $1 million for a bowl of mushy soup. We don't know why Esau did that, but the Bible says he didn't care about the birthright. But later, when Isaac was really old and about to die, he wanted to ask God to take special care of his firstborn Esau. So he told Esau to go hunting and make him some tasty food, maybe for the last time. Now, Esau wanted the birthright, so he left right away to hunt. Meanwhile, Rebecca had heard Isaac and Esau talking, and remember, Jacob was her favorite. She wanted him to get the blessing. So she did something really sneaky. She told Jacob, "I will prepare tasty food for your father. You take it to your father to eat. Then he'll give you his blessing before he dies." See, Isaac was blind. She was telling Jacob to pretend he was Esau. But there was a slight problem with her plan. First off, Esau was hairy. So if Isaac touched Jacob's smooth skin, he would know the truth. The Bible says Esau had a certain smell, too, which might be a polite way of saying he stunk. I mean, imagine how smelly a guy would be if he was always sweating and getting dead animal blood stuck on his clothes and matted in his hairy skin. And this was before deodorant. So even though Isaac was blind, he might smell Jacob or touch his smooth arm and know the truth. Well, Rebecca was sneaky like Jacob. She told Jacob to put sheepskin on his arms and wear some of Esau's smelly clothes. Now Isaac would never know. And even though Isaac wondered why the voice sounded like Jacob, guess what? The trick worked. Jacob got the blessing. Now Esau would have to work for him. As you might imagine, Esau was furious. In fact, Rebecca had to help Jacob run away so Esau wouldn't kill him. What's really crazy about this story is Jacob messed up big time. But he really did get God's blessing. Esau even forgave him later.
This is a familiar story. I think most of us heard it in Sunday school. But hearing it again or seeing it, what surprised you about the story? Share with someone next to you what surprised you about the story. are on with your neighbour is what shapes and informs the choices we make. And Jacob, one may say his hunger informed the choices that he made. Likewise for Jacob and the choices he made. So for you, what shapes and informs choices you make? As part of NAIDOC Week, I wonder how the First Nations people view birthrights. Their understanding of stewardship and the responsibility to the whole clan creation. This issue of birthright is important to me. I guess it's important to all of us. Part of the birthright of all or firstborn, especially male, in Tonga, is this understanding of the birthright. They inherit their father's land, but they inherit the responsibility that comes with the land, which means caring for the extended community. When I first heard about this birthright that goes to the eldest, I said, oh, yippee, that's me. And then my grandfather turned around and says, but you are not the eldest male in the family. So even though your brother is several years younger than you, he is the heir. So it's interesting how people perceive, and hence the tension in this family, which is also the tension we experience in our time. How often do you hear this when you're sitting with a family trying to go through the organizing the liturgy for funerals, and the tension is there? They're already looking at inheritance instead of celebrating life. So how do we address issues of birthrights, or addressing the understanding of birthrights? It's not ownership, it's actually stewardship, because there is the caring responsibility for those that are part of that creation. So I invite you to a time of prayer. And this is written by a First Nations leader. Let us pray. May the God of all wonder, who sets the stars in the sky, bless us with relentlessness, unsettledness that drives us to seek truth. May the God of all justice, who gave motion to the rivers, bless us with righteous anger that drives us to seek freedom for all. May the God of all love, who places laughter in the kookaburras, bless us with friendship that looks like the love where one lays down their life for another. May the God of all comfort, who determines the heights of the mountains, bless us with tears from shared pain and mourning that shows us there is hope. Now with wonder, righteous anger, sacrifice and lament, we continue to live in hope that our hearts will be transformed and our nation will be reconciled. Amen. Is it our song now? Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus,
my Savior,
Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort,
my shelter,
tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Jesus,
my Savior,
Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort,
my shelter,
tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and might.
mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
We'll have our gospel reading.
Gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear."
Jesus says, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. Listen, a sower went out to sow." One day, a florist walked into a barber shop for a haircut. When it was done, he reached for his wallet, but the barber waved him off. "No charge." The florist smiled, thanked him, and left. The next morning, when the barber opened his shop, he found a thank you card and a dozen of fresh roses waiting at the door. Later that day, a police officer came in for a trim. Again, when it was over, the barber said, "No charge." The police officer thanked him and left. The next morning, the barber found a thank you card and a box of chocolate waiting at his door. That afternoon, a priest walked in. Same deal. Free haircut. No charge. The next morning, when the barber opened his shop, there were a dozen priests lined up all waiting for a haircut. Today's gospel reading is framed around the Pharisees conspiring to destroy Jesus that we hear in chapter 12:14, as well as him returning to his hometown and was rejected by his own people. And in the middle of that frame, we have this story. Those who have ears, listen. There's movement from the home to the lake. As the gathered community increases in size, and Jesus decides to hop on a boat and move a little further, maybe to be able to see the crowd. And Jesus is a storyteller. He uses story to bring meaning, to make sense to those who are listening. The first part is the story. The second part we heard is the explanation of the story. But it wasn't the explanation given to the crowd, but to his disciples. We know listening is hard, especially those that are starting to lose their hearing. And in a crowd, you're sitting there attentively listening so that you get what has been spoken. And listening to something foreign is even harder, because you are more open, because you are keen to understand what has been said, even if it's a foreign language. First Nations people tend to speak about listening that involves discernment. They refer to it as deep, deep listening, where it implies that there is compassion in our listening that eventually leads to action. See, the first hearers of this writing, they were second-gen Christians. Most of them were farmers that were pushed to the fringe by the Roman Empire, their taxing system, but also the policies and politics of the priestly schemes. Most of them were displaced. Some of the landlords even lost their birthright, their farms. So sometimes it's really hard to listen to those in power when you've been crushed. How well do we listen in our time? How well do we listen to our First Nations people and their struggle? How well do we listen to the turmoil that's happening around us? And again, it's not just watching the news, oh my goodness, did you see that? This listening does something for us that leads to action. It's our compassionate hearers that leads us to do something, to change something. Faithful Futures is coming to the local context. The teasing out of the how-to with the strategic planning. But how do we listen and listen well to our community? What do we notice in our environment? It was interesting today, and I don't know about you when you were listening, whether you were listening to me during the meditative prayer or you were listening to this wind that was buzzing around us. But this parable or this story reminds us as a church that the sower went out and sowed his seeds. There was no, let me check the soil, let me turn the soil, let me make sure that people are listening. The sower threw out the seeds. But it's the different soils, I guess, reflects how well different hearers received the word. And one of the challenges I see in the church today, or in the Western church today, is we're so fearful of change. But we live, and life is all about changes. And how do we adapt? How do we listen? How do we observe? So therefore, we can respond with love and compassion. So my hope is as a church that we're not fearful to share the good news of what Jesus is doing in our lives. And I'm not saying go out there and bash someone with the Bible story, but sometimes a genuine, loving story. Wow, we had such a lovely cuppa this morning with my neighbour. I got to know them a little bit deeper, and they got to know me a little bit deeper. There was genuine listening, and you're able to move from the tip of the iceberg and really get to know the needs and the wants. And I believe that is our calling. Not big, extravagant things that we have to change, but simple, loving steps that can change the lives of those around you. Simply, your word is embodied through your compassionate action. And there, the fruits of your labor will be abundant. Because those seeds of love that you are enacting will grow in the other person, and they will go and invite someone else and offer them a cuppa and really listen so that they have a sense that they belong, that they are worthy to be heard. So as we continue on our journey through the Pentecost season, let us remember we have two ears to listen attentively and deeply, not only to our needs, but to the needs of those around us, so that our actions embody God's grace and love for all of creation. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Your words to me are life and health, pour strength into my soul. Able guide and teach my heart to reach its perfect goal. Your words to me are light and truth, from day to day they show their wisdom passing human thought, as in their truth I grow. Your words to me are full of joy, of beauty, peace and grace. From them I learn your blessed will, through them I see your face. Your words are perfected in one, yourself the living word. Within my heart your image print in clearest light, O Lord.
Saved. Let us pray. O God, you invite us to deep listening and to respond with compassionate action. In so doing, we offer all these gifts for the ministry and mission of your church. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just invite you all to make sure you read your pew sheet this morning. I don't have any specific announcements. I just wanted to say on our behalf, sometimes a lot of things go on behind the scenes that we don't all see. And I just wanted to thank Fraser for the work that he's been doing this week. I know, I don't want to embarrass Fraser, I just want to acknowledge it. And I want to say that we just need to be mindful that not everything that we assume happens without effort. So thanks very much for the work you've done with Jan and the groups. So now let's turn our minds to the prayers of the people. As we gather in prayer, we ask for a deeper understanding of 50 years of deadly, this year's chosen theme for NAIDOC Week. In Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander English, deadly is a term of high praise, meaning excellent, cool, or amazing. It's commonly used by First Nations people to compliment someone's skills, their achievements, or to express deep cultural pride. And in saying that that dance was deadly, or you're too deadly, it's quite the opposite in our primary understanding of the English use of the word to describe something dangerous or fatal. With this clearer understanding in mind, we begin by praying with and for our First Nations peoples. 2026 marks a half century of entirely Indigenous-led national events and provides us with an opportunity to pay tribute to elders, activists and organisers who campaign for land rights, language revival and cultural survival. Help us to continue to seek truth-telling together as all Australians come to witness firsthand that from little things, indeed, big things can grow. We pray for those in our community and wider nation who feel forgotten, abandoned, or downtrodden. Winter, in itself, can be a bleak and unforgiving season when individuals feel cold and hunger more acutely. We who go home to warm houses, hot food and genuine shelter, ask to be shown how best to support those who have few, if any, of these resources. As in Matthew's gospel reading, may we be indicative of sowers whose seed falls on good soil and who hear God's word and act on it with purpose and understanding. We pray for peace in the many areas of tension and conflict throughout the world, places and settings where the seed, so to speak, is stifled by trouble and persecution, and as a result, never starts to flourish. We profess the desire for peace, and frequently we speak of it, but seem unable to follow the words with actions that end fighting and secure freedom for those who cannot achieve it by themselves. Talk can be cheap if not accompanied by actions and commitment. We pray for those amongst us who are ill, recovering from surgery, undergoing rehabilitation, or stepping out in the face of uncertain diagnoses and futures. Be with each person who needs your love and strength. And for those in challenging relationships, offer them the guidance and a way forward to heal broken connections. We pause now to bring before you those in our own experience who need particular help. Meet them and us in our vulnerability and instill in everyone your courage and grace as we struggle with hard times, and help us care for others who are having a hard time. More than ever, enable us to embrace hope and be bearers of hope to others. God of every place and time, speak to us here and now as we pray the words you have taught us to share whenever we are gathered together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven. and Shine. We're now going to join together and sing Shine, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Lord, the light of your love be shining in the midst of the dark. Be shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word. Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Friends, we live in a messy world, but we do not go out into it alone. We go with the light of the Word, who was present in creation and holds all things together. We go with the wisdom of God, who walks this earth, knew its struggles and understands ours. We go with the power of the Spirit, who lives within us, to grow, guide and strengthen us. So let us go, held, guided and unafraid. Amen.